Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we are going to conclude our studies on the remarkable threes in the Scriptures. And the message we wish to consider today is the threefold ministry of the Word of God. The Word of God has a threefold ministry to us, and this is mentioned in the book of Corinthians, chapter 14, 1 Corinthians, chapter 14, verses 1 to 3, where we read there, "Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. But no man understandeth him, howbeit in spirit he speaketh ministries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. And herein lies the threefold ministry of the Word of God to you and me: edification, exhortation, and comfort. In edification, we are lifted up. In exhortation, we are stirred up. And then in comfort, we are lifted up." I should say, in edification, rather, that we are built up, exhortation stirred up, and in comfort we are lifted up. That is a correction. Okay, let's go on. Now, there might be an understanding in regard to this word prophecy. Did you notice here he says, "Follow after love, charity, and desire spiritual gifts, but that you may prophesy." Now, we have always connected prophecy with the future. But W.E. Vine, a noted author, in his Expository Dictionary of the New Testament writes, "It is the declaration of that which cannot be known by natural means. It is the forthtelling of the will of God, whether with reference to the past, the present, or the future." The word in the Greek is the word prophecy in English is practically a transliteration of the Greek word. And this prophecy means teaching. And it is indeed edification, exhortation, and comfort. It involves all three. All right, let's consider edification. First of all, edification builds up. And that is the ministry of teaching, particularly. We have written in Acts chapter 20, verses 32, this was in Paul's farewell to the Ephesian elders. He never expected to see them again. And he writes these words. They're important. "Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified." Now, the word edification is connected with the word edifice. It's a building. It's a building process. Now, edification builds up. As the foods build up the body, so the Scriptures builds up and strengthens the body of Christ. Now, we read in 1 Peter 2 and 23, for instance, these words, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be that ye've tasted that the Lord is gracious." And here again we see the word of God as nourishment. Now, it's also meat as well as milk. We read in the scripture seen as strong meat in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. I think we should read that now. "For when, for a time, ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again that which is the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." Now, what does the milk do for us? It builds us up. What does the meat do for us? It builds us up. But the milk is for babes in Christ. That's what Peter says. Did you notice that? "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, if so be that you've tasted that the Lord is gracious." Now, the milk nourishes. The meat nourishes. It builds up our bodies. But the milk is concerned with the humility of Christ, whereas the strong meat is concerned with the glories of Christ. When one is saved, when one has come into the knowledge that Christ died for his sins, and that God has settled the sin question at the cross, and that we can go to heaven by reason of the work of Christ on the cross, that was connected with Christ's humility. But oh, it is so important for us to know. And indeed, it is indeed very important that we understand that. We get to the milk stage before we get to the meat stage. But afterwards, we see his glory as he is in heaven now, and what he has planned for you and for me. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, we read there, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal." Listen to what he says to these Corinthians. "Even as unto babes in Christ, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." I wanted to feed you with milk. Now he says earlier in his epistle, he says, "I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." That is the milk. That is what brings life to you and me. And that's what we appreciate when we get saved. That brings us peace to know that the sin question is settled. And so we see edification builds up the church of God. Now that process continues as long as we're taught the things that we need to know from the scriptures. Now exhortation is quite a different thing. We read that exhortation stirs up. Again, we resort to W.E. Vine, who is the author of that New Testament dictionary of Greek words. And he tells us there, to admonish, he defines this now, to admonish, exhort, to urge one to pursue some course of conduct. Now, he was exhorting the Christians in Corinth when he said to them, as we have just read, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but unto carnal, even as unto babes." This is sarcasm. "I have fed you with milk and not with meat." He's trying to stir them up. He's trying to admonish them because they're not going on into the deeper things of God. Now, I don't mean that we should ever neglect the gospel. Never do we need to neglect the gospel. But we need to get into the glories of Christ and see what he would have us to do and see where we fit in to that program that will bring glory to God. Exhortation is a very, very real and necessary part of the Word of God. But now exhortation is a little dangerous. I'm not an exhorter. In the strictest sense of the word, I don't like exhortation. Because oftentimes, when you exhort people, you are accused of the fact by those that don't want the exhortation. They don't want the advice. They don't want to be stirred up. They want to be comfortable. And so they feel that you're scolding. And I don't like to scold. Do you like to scold people? Especially not from the pulpit. But nevertheless, we do have exhortations. And it's a part, it's a one of the threefold parts of the scriptures. Remember our title of our lesson, the threefold ministry of the Word of God. Part of it's edification, it's teaching. Very necessary that we feed on the Word of God if we're going to grow as Christians at all. And then there's the exhortation that stirs us up. And certainly, Paul certainly exhorts that Christian church. Why, his whole epistle is exhortation, practically, to those Corinthians. Oh, they were wise. And earthly wisdom, yes, very wise. They were Athenians. They were Greeks. And the Greek was the center of the world's knowledge in those days. The Greek writers, Plato, and all of those others, they are profound. But God says that doesn't carry into the things of God. It's an entirely new situation. And so he exhorts them. Paul exhorts the Corinthian church. And then there is another way of exhortation that I think is more pleasant, by furnishing from the scriptures the examples of godly saints who would do and dare for the Lord. We see David's great desire to please the Lord. We see Paul as an example of going all out for God. All out for God. And that's more pleasant, isn't it, than to be stirred up and to be admonished and sometimes even rebuked. All right, now exhortation is important. Remember, don't resist it. Don't criticize the pastor when he tries to stir you up to your responsibilities. It's a part of the Word of God. And then last of all, there is comfort. We read in the epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, for instance, verses 1 to 5. Here is where comfort comes in. And oh, it is so desired. Comfort lifts up. Remember, edification builds up, exhortation stirs up, but comfort lifts up. Listen to these words. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For by the sufferings of Christ, as the sufferings of Christ rather abound in us, so our consolation abounds by Christ and in Christ. Now in Deuteronomy we read those wonderful words. It's in Moses' farewell to the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 33. Listen to these words. The eternal God is thy refuge and underneath of the everlasting arms. Sometimes have you ever felt that you were had reached bottom? No, you haven't. Underneath are the everlasting arms. How comforting the word of God is, and how comforting God himself is. Christ prays for us. We read in John chapter 17, verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and mine are thine. And then also we read in Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us. Think of that. Christ praying for us. The Spirit of God praying for us. God comforting us. Can you think of anything lovelier than that? Our Father, we thank you for the threefold ministry of the Spirit of God. May we not neglect any one of these three. We pray in Christ's name, giving thanks. Amen.